It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Affordability is top of mind for people with concerns over inflation and the costs of healthcare, medicine, and groceries.
One segment of the population is having a similar affordability crisis, but they're earning even lower wages and paying even higher prices, people in the Wisconsin jail and prison system.
Incarcerated people or their families have to pay for things that aren't considered necessities, like lotion, shampoo, deodorant, over-the-counter medicine, phone calls, entertainment, and even healthcare, and many of those are only available at a large markup.
One Wisconsin bill working its way through the legislature right now would limit the cost of hygiene items in jails and prisons. And since 2024, the Federal Communications Commission has been debating limits on the amount that those institutions can charge for phone and video calls.
Rebecca Aubert and Susan Franzen have been directly affected by these extra costs because they have loved ones incarcerated.
They met while waiting in line to visit their family members at a Wisconsin correctional facility. They decided to form Ladies of Solutions, Change, and Innovation, or SCI, ever since they've been advocating for better jail and prison conditions in the state. Susan Franzen is Director of Operations for Ladies of SCI, and Rebecca Aubert is Executive Director of the group. Rebecca, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
And Susan, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us here today.
Susan, let's start with the basics here. People might assume that if you're in jail or you're in prison, that those facilities will give you all the basic necessities that you need. Well, it's more complicated than that. What is normally provided and what do people have to pay for themselves?
Yeah. When I was introduced to this world several years ago, I had a lot of preconceived notions of what our state provides for our prisoners. And unfortunately, they don't provide a whole lot. Very limited hygiene items, a toothbrush, toothpaste, soap, some basic clothing. But when the loved one that I support ended up being placed in prison, I spent just under $2,000 getting him everything he needs just to survive day to day. So socks, underwear, shampoo, deodorant, all of those things. So there's actually a lot that our state does not provide for our prisoners.
And Rebecca, I understand you have a similar story about the costs of providing all of those basics. What did that mean for you and your family?
Yes, it's very, very, very expensive. Just getting my husband what he needed, just like Susan stated, when he first went to prison, cost us about $1,500. And leading up to that, really, we had already spent thousands of dollars just communicating while he was in the local jail. So by that point, we were already thousands into it, and it had only been about 6 months. It's very expensive.
Let's look at these personal items now. Rebecca, you've and your group have looked at documents from the State Department of Corrections that detail what it pays for personal items, how much it sells them to prisoners for in the canteen, how it compares to if you or I went to a retail store to buy similar things. What do you find out when you start to compare and contrast those numbers?
Well, for starters, we have to remember that just about every single item that we purchase as family members has some type of commission attached to it. And in order to make those commissions, I'm sure that's part of the price problem, but many items are marked up between 200 to 500%. And it depends on really where you are. The jails are very different from the prisons. And the prisons, family members can actually purchase things like hygiene supplies separately from what the residents of our prisons can off of their commissary. And what we have found is the prices for family members are oftentimes astronomically higher than they even charge the residents, which, of course, a lot of times they're making about $8 a week. But the families who are trying to support people are actually hit the hardest. Some items can be marked up as much as 600%. For instance, a hygiene order that I purchased for my husband of the cost of $75 through one of their vendors, that's something that family members can purchase. If I were to go to Walmart, that same order would cost me about $20. And that's just one of the very many expenses that we have.
And Susan, people listening might think off the top of their head, I did at first, well, couldn't I just go to the store, the Walmart or whatever, buy the thing and give it to the family member? Well, then, no, hang on. There are reasons they don't do that. The only option, it sounds like, is through the commissary or whatever it's called at a particular prison or jail. Do I have that right?
Correct. Yes, we can only order items from pre-approved vendors that have contracts with the DOC, obviously for security reasons to make sure that no contraband is coming in. But yes, our options are very limited. We are not allowed to make our own choices on where or what we buy.
And Rebecca, you mentioned those commissions, the prison or jail is making money in effect on these products. Do we know what that money then is used for?
Well, surprising to us, we found that there actually is no rules for them to follow as far as how much commission that they can get or what they are to do with the commissions. And just like every prison, every single county, for instance, does it different. And so with the counties, we've had, I think, 29 counties respond of the 71 that have jails. And the commissions on their phone calls, for instance, are anywhere between 12% all the way up to 92%, the average being about 44%. And when we asked them what they did with those funds, everybody had a different answer. But one of the common themes was that that money is put into the county's general fund to reduce the cost on the taxpayers for the jail. The problem with that is we on average have about 0.2% of a county's population is in the jail. So we're really shifting that burden to the 0.2% that are in the jail and their families. And oftentimes they aren't the people that have any money to begin with. You know, we're oftentimes already struggling, and then to have to pay for all this, it has a terrible impact on families across the state.
Now, Susan, there's a bill in the state legislature right now that would require facilities to make hygiene products available at prices similar to retail and to give each person a small stipend to spend on those products. Talk a little bit about that legislation and how much of a solution you see that being to the problem.
Yes, they've proposed two different bills. One is for feminine hygiene. The other is for regular hygiene. It does put price caps in place between 125 and 150%. We were excited to see this legislation be presented as it would help reduce some of that burden that we as support people have to pay. I think there might be some more cost-effective ways to do it than the $25 a month stipend, but either way, this bill is definitely moving things in the right direction to help reduce that burden that we feel.
Now, Rebecca, we were talking about these healthcare items, these body aid type items. You also mentioned the cost of communication, especially in jail, but I know this can be an issue in prison. What kind of costs do people incur just to stay in touch with the outside world?
It can be very expensive. The prisons are much cheaper to talk to a loved one, 6 cents a minute. 4 of that 6 cents, though, does get deposited directly into Wisconsin's general fund. So the state is actually profiting off of those calls. The jails, on the other hand, can be crazy. Just our local jail costs about $4.25 for a 15-minute call. There's some jails that are even higher than that. The cost to communicate, especially when you have a loved one that's in jail, is devastating. And to be honest, a lot of times when your loved one is in jail is right when you're starting this process of jail and prison, and that's when families and their loved ones need the most support. So they're kind of taking advantage of that.
I think it's important for your listeners to know that we pay for every form of communication that we have with our loved ones on the inside, whether it be phone calls, emails, sending documents in the mail. Everything has a cost associated with it. Nothing is free except for the 2 calls they get a week that are free.
And just about everything has a commission attached to it.
We are talking to Rebecca Aubert and Susan Franzen of the group Ladies of Solutions Change and Innovation, or SCI. We're talking with them about what incarcerated people and their families have to pay for things like hygiene products, food, entertainment, phone calls, and where that money goes. We heard from Eddie Brooks, who was just released from Stanley Correctional Facility after being incarcerated for 2.5 years. He explained how the kind of financial hardships we're talking about make it harder for incarcerated people to improve their lives. Here's a listen.
The majority of people in prison are living hard. And again, I understand the prison is a place where a person's supposed to have it easy at, but there still should be a standard of living for individuals that supports growth and mental prosperity and emotional well-being and mental health.
Susan, that takes us to the next step here. Okay, yes, there are these financial burdens. What do these worries mean for the effort to, you know, come out of prison in a better place than you went into it?
Yeah, it adds more stress to an already stressful situation. So it's just another issue that compounds pain economically. We're paying with our mental health, we're paying emotionally. You know, you're concerned on keeping things going on the outside, and you're trying to be a support person because as support people, we are statistically the most significant way to reduce recidivism. But all of these things compounding, it feels like the weight of the world is on your shoulders, and you're just trying to be strong for that person that's on the inside so they can be successful when they get back out.
And Rebecca, basically the same question for you. People might hear about this and not feel a lot of sympathy here, but what does it mean for the outcomes and for what it costs us as a society in the long run?
Well, you know, honestly, we have a very high percentage of people in prisons that already have a mental health diagnosis. And then to struggle for years to just have soap and to be able to brush your teeth and wash a load of clothes, that struggle stays with them. And I'm not sure how we're rehabilitating anybody when your focus every day is to just get enough to eat and get a bar of soap and maybe afford a phone call home. You're really not focusing on anything else. So it's the impact is great. It hurts people's mental health. Just not being able to talk to families when you need to is devastating for both the families and the people that are incarcerated.
Susan, as you work for changes on these issues, among other things, you've gone to state lawmakers, but within the Department of Corrections system itself, who are the deciders? Who are the people you try to talk to influence these decisions about what things cost for people who are incarcerated?
Yes, we've had several meetings with DOC leadership. Their contract people are procuring these contracts, agreeing to the terms that these vendors set up. At this point, we're really hopeful because the new leadership with Secretary Hoy has been very open to hearing our voices and hearing how this affects the people that support those on the inside. So as an advocacy group, we're just going to keep talking to them, making sure that our viewpoint is considered. So that way, when these contracts come up for renewal, they can start thinking about what this is really doing for their overall goal of helping people be successful when they get out.
Rebecca, are there other states that you think handle this better, have better systems in place than Wisconsin does?
Yes. Actually, I believe all of our surrounding states. All of our surrounding states also have an office of some type called ombudsman or independent oversight, which can help make long-term changes to bad policies in general. So yes, all of our surrounding states are doing better. Minnesota, particularly, they are about the same size as Wisconsin. They have about the same number of people, but they incarcerate about a third of the people that Wisconsin does. They also don't have such strict truth in sentencing rules, so people can earn their way out. While every state who has a prison system has problems, Minnesota is doing overall much better than us here in Wisconsin.
Susan, Rebecca just mentioned that idea of an ombudsperson to oversee Wisconsin's prison system. That role would, as I understand it, investigate complaints involving Wisconsin's Department of Corrections, tackle some of the issues we've been talking about. There was some effort to get that into the state budget, eventually didn't end up going through. What do you see as the potential? What's the case you'd make for having that role?
Yes, when Governor Evers put out his budget initially, there was earmarked some funds to create an ombuds office, and we were excited to see that. Unfortunately, that was stripped out of the budget by the Joint Finance Committee. So at this time, our group still is asking our lawmakers to consider the creation of this office. And we do have some interest in it. However, of course, anything that would add money or offices to the government, unfortunately, the Republicans are very wary to consider that. But that is why we started our advocacy, because as a family member, we had no one to go to. We were ping-ponged back and forth between lawmakers and the DOC. This ombuds office would give family members somewhere to go to air their issues, to ask for resolution, to make suggestions, to make the correction system better for everybody.
Rebecca, what would you say to, say, a state lawmaker who is skeptical of this idea, said, you know, maybe, but the money is not there, or it's not a good investment of our money?
We believe wholeheartedly that with all of the problems that we're facing in Wisconsin in our prison system, that an ombuds office would be able to address multiple issues at the same time and be an independent resource for our lawmakers and our citizens as to what is really going on and what we really do need to address and change. We have begged Republicans all across the state to consider it. There's many things that cost a lot of money in our state. This is not one of them. The average cost of an ombuds office across the country is 0.1% of that corrections budget. So it's hardly anything when we're talking about a budget of $2 billion in Wisconsin.
And to build off of that, the Department of Corrections has already contracted with Falcon, which is essentially an ombuds type organization. So they spent $500,000 on a review last year, and they're going to contract with them again this year, which is great because it's going to help address issues. But that isn't a long-term solution because we're not getting an office in place that can be invested for the long run and look at short-term and long-term goals.
Rebecca, as we start to wrap up, we've focused in particular on the costs facing people who are incarcerated and their families. As you advocate for changes in our jail and prison system, is there a mindset change you think we need, a culture change to find the best way to help people come out of the incarceration system and not end up back there again?
Yes. I think in Wisconsin, we need to ask ourselves, do we want rehabilitation or do we want punitive punishment? And I think people are under the impression that people go to prison to receive drug treatment and mental health services and things that would, you know, help them be successful when they come out. But that is not the case. And there's a lot of varying opinions on whether people should be miserable or be rehabilitated. And I can tell you that misery does not make anybody better. And over 90% of the people in our prisons are coming back to our communities, whether they receive the help that they needed or not. And so we have to be honest with ourselves. You know, being away from home and away from your family and away from communities is supposed to be the punishment. We have to do more to get people on their feet when they come home. It's so important.
We'll leave it there. Susan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
And Rebecca, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
That's Rebecca Aubert and Susan Franzen with the group Ladies of SCI, a group that lobbies on behalf of incarcerated people and their loved ones in Wisconsin. We talked to them about financial burdens for incarcerated people and their families and what's being done to change it. The State Department of Corrections provided a statement to the legislature about two proposed laws that would mandate expanded access to personal care items in prison. The statement lists the items currently provided and goes on to say, quote, while DOC generally supports expanding access to additional hygiene and feminine hygiene products, the department would be unable to absorb the additional costs to fund such a mandate. The statement says the funding provided by the bills would not be enough and, quote, our agency would welcome the opportunity to implement these changes safely and sustainably, but respectfully request the funding to do so.